In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It may seem simple. It may sound mundane. It may be pedantic to say it, but every single gospel text that sounds out in Christ's holy church has people in it. People, each and every one of whom is a descendant of the first Adam, except for he who is the second Adam, begotten of the Father from eternity out of God's everlasting and unfathomable love. And you know who that is. As for the descendants of the first Adam, you have heard that indeed both he and Eve were created on the sixth day of creation, not as an afterthought, but as the crowning glory of his creation. And what set them apart from all other creatures, and what sets you apart from all other creatures, and what sets every human being above all creatures is above all this, being made in the image of God. While that may not be simple, mundane, or pedantic, it is certainly a quality you have that places you as God's creature and all people as God's creatures in a relationship with God and his creation that no other creature has. Since goodness and wisdom and righteousness and love constitute the very essence of God, man, who was made in the image of God, was created in goodness, and wisdom, righteousness, and love. And he was endowed with not only reason and senses, but also a soul and the breath of life, a spirit. As for the body that you received, and each of yours is different, and that you are given to make use of in this life with thanksgiving, the image of God is found in that too. St. Augustine mentions this when he writes, "It can be said that even in the body, man has a unique property which somehow reflects the image of God. That property is the way he is made, with a body that stands upright." I don't see any of you crawling around except some of these little ones that might still be learning to walk. And by this, by making us those who stand upright, he is warned, that is to say, man is warned, that he should not seek after earthly things as the other animals do, whose whole pleasure is out of the earth, and hence they are bent and prostrated toward their belly. And this to me raises a question. Do monkeys, apes, and other critters like them seek the things that are above? Never mind. That question need not be answered here or ever. For the gospel that is preached into your ears here does not include any of their ears. I don't see any of them here. But it is precisely in the midst of such people, just like you, made in the image of God, who are yet suffering its dreadful, its deadful corruption. It is in the midst of them that Christ Jesus says, "Peace be to you. Peace be with you." And why would he say that? Because these people in this gospel, just like you, despite being made in the image of God, they also inherited the sin of the first Adam, so that their reason and senses, in body, soul, and spirit, were given over to sin and to death. And they had just witnessed up close and personal one of the most cruel deaths inflicted upon flesh and blood, the crucifixion of their Lord. Well, what have you done with your reason and senses lately? You've set them on the things of this world. You have sought earthly things like the lower creatures do. That's what you and all people are inclined to do by nature, and that, going back to the top, is why every single gospel text that sounds out in Christ's holy church, guess what? It has people in it. Now, they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. All indications are that these ones who are startled and frightened are the very same Emmausites who broke bread with and recognized Jesus only hours ago. How could they not know? How could they not be at peace? Well, the answer to that is this. While they are made in the image of God, just like you, that image has been overshadowed by the darkness of the first Adam's transgression. And it would never change unless Jesus would stand in their midst and yours and say, "Peace be with you." And that's what he says to you this night. He says this because he, with his flesh and blood, also made in the image of God, has made perfect payment for your sin upon that cross. And he is now risen from the dead so that now you will rise from the dead and stand before God, justified by grace, taking hold of the salvation which he has worked for you in Christ Jesus. And he will work in you. And by it, living with a peace that surpasses all understanding, because it is a peace that does not fear death or any earthly enemy. And that same peace is administered to you this night, even as it already has been administered to you in the washing of regeneration, once in your baptism into his life and body, and then over and over again through the preaching of his gospel and through the supper of his living body and blood for your peace and your comfort, your strength. It's his way of living and abiding with you. One last thing. The short and simple fact laid bare in this gospel placed into your ears this night is that the risen Christ Jesus ate food. You know what that means? He's not a ghost. He is real flesh and blood, just like you. Yes, he too was made in the image of God as he took his human nature from the Virgin Mary. But he is also true God himself, whose image is most perfectly shown through the innocent sufferings and death and the glorious resurrection of this one man, your Christ Jesus, whose peace belongs to you both now and forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.